The scripture will be taken from Matthew 6:19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
I just want to take a moment and thank the elders, BJ, Kevin, and all of you for the opportunities I've gotten over the year, and how this has helped shape the man that I am today. My lesson is about possessions and where your treasures are. There is about 7.3 billion people that live on this earth. Out of those 7.3 billion, you can say about 75% of them do not know where they lay their treasures. But for the other 25%, some will lay it in their houses, others in their jobs, some in the relationships they get through people. But only about 5%, if that, will lay their treasures in heaven. See, when you think about laying our treasures on earth, and you think about examples in the Bible, one that comes to my mind is the rich young ruler, found in Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 22. And the question he asks Jesus is, how can he have eternal life? And Jesus answers the man by telling him that he needs to obey the commandments. And the rich young ruler then goes on to respond, which one? So Jesus responds with them. He says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young ruler proudly and boldly responds, I have done those. Which ones do I lack? And this is where Jesus drops the bomb, you can say, on him. And he says, go sell what you have and give it to the poor and follow me. See, if you stop right there, you might think, well, he got told what he needs to do to have eternal life. He'll go and do it. But it doesn't stop right there. You keep reading down, and we find out where his heart was based on his reaction and his response. We see that his heart was in his wealth and his treasures that he has obtained in this life. And that we see that he goes away sadly because he had much wealth. See, he was willing to love his neighbors and do the commands that pertain to his fellow man on the easy level. But when it comes down to love the Father and having no other gods before him, and in this man's case, it was his wealth, he's not willing to let go of the wealth. So where is your treasure? Are we earthly minded or heavenly minded? Are we investing in the future of eternity to come, or investing in the now? See, both of these are asking the same thing, but it's very important that we know the answer. Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9 tells us, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. When people are cruel, or when the grass doesn't seem that green, or when the day is long, what are you thinking of? Do you want to get revenge immediately? Do we want the latest and greatest thing? Do we forget to think about our blessings? Where's our focus? And these thoughts will determine what kind of treasure we're storing and where we're storing them. In the scripture reading that we just had, if you want to turn back there, it's Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Jesus uses three examples. It reads in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." So from there we see the three examples, moth, rust, and thieves. First one is the moth. The moth is a tiny butterfly-looking animal that doesn't appear harmful at all. But it'll get in and destroy the most expensive fabric you could own. The second is the rust. Think of somewhere that it snows, maybe somewhere up north. And when it snows, they have to lay down salt so you're able to drive on it. And through the time of driving on it, it begins to get on your car. And if you do not wash your car and wash the salt away, it will get inside there and start to rust it. And you could have the newest, most expensive car, but if you do not take care of it, rust will begin to show. And then the third one is the thief. With money and riches comes mankind's power to protect what he has gained. And by doing that, he will get security systems. Walls and gates built around the house, safes to lock those precious jewels up into. But what does the thief do? They break in, they find those safes, they get inside of them, and they take what they want by any means. And just one more example. Think of someone driving a car. They got a new car brand off the lot. They turn on their music, roll turn the radio on, and they blare it. They want everyone to know they got a brand new car. And then a little bit of humility comes in. They pull out of that lot, sideswipe. They get hit. That new car that they just spent thousands of dollars on is worth nothing. You see, money is useful, and we need it to pay our bills, to buy groceries, to support the goods for the church. But as the first example Jesus used was the moth, the moth in our lives, maybe as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 through 10, chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So when we let obtaining more and more money or never being satisfied control us, those thoughts can lead us away from God and put our treasures somewhere else. See, this pursuit can even lead us away from our friends that are trying to help us. What do we allow to eat away at our treasures and our blessings with Christ? Do we let what the brothers say or not say bother us and fester and eventually keep us from worshiping with God's family? Do we let the questions of life that we may or may not know or understand keep us awake and in doubt of God is in control? Do we believe Paul when he writes in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus"? Or does the devil steal our joy from us? John 8:44 reads, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So when the devil tells us that our neighbor is so happy with that new toy he just got, or that our friend on Facebook is having the best life that she could have, is it always true or is it a lie? I've heard an acronym for what joy really means. Putting Jesus first, others second, and yourselves third. This is the treasure that we are to store up in heaven. The treasure of doing our Father's will, who is in heaven. Our reward is not on this earth. Being with Christ is our reward. Those who strive to store up treasures here on earth will be disappointed, because those treasures will only pass away. Jesus is calling us to change our minds from the temporary to the permanent, from the things that are passing by to the things that will always stay. There's a saying or a story I heard. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer behind it. And why is that? Because you can't take the things here on earth with you to heaven. So we can put on many disguises and faces so people perceive us as spiritual or godly. When deep in our heart, where no one can see, or in our private life, we struggle with fears, temptations, desiring the things of the world for man's praise instead of glorifying God. In the passage of our scripture reading, Jesus reminds us that the heart is the keyhole of the treasures. Jesus says in Matthew 6:22, "If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." If the eye of our heart and mind is focused on earthly treasures, our vision will be blurred and distorted, and we will not be able to rightly distinguish God's will for our life. Or we may not be able to see God as clearly as we once were. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And what happens when you are in the dark? You stumble. You try to find that light source, and you try to find your way. Because you cannot see things, you try not to trip. You try not to fall. You try not to stub your toe. When our eyes are focused on the things of this world, our eyes are bad. Our bodies are full of darkness, and we have a very difficult time seeing the truth. If the eyes of our heart and mind are focused on the Father, though, then we will be standing with Him and following in His footsteps, and have the ability to see Him clearly, to know what He is asking of us at that time. Luke 12:13-21 is the parable of the rich young fool. And in verse 15, Jesus reminds us that one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. The parable tells of a rich man who yielded a great crop. He decides to tear down his old barns to build newer and bigger ones. Then after he is done, he decides to retire, so to speak, thinking that he has enough stored up to last him many years. And now that he can sit back, relax, and take it easy. But what happens? God calls him a fool and says that his life is required of him that day. Jesus completes this parable by saying, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So many of us long for the day that we can sit back and enjoy our fortune of retirement, enjoy what we have reaped, and have the path of life easy. However, the Christian life is not always easy. It never ends until the last breath is drawn. The man in Luke was ruled by his wealth, thinking of all he had accumulated, only to die that night and see his wealth wasted and split up. He was unable to take it with him. So to close, I'd like to offer you an invitation. But to do so, I want to tell you two stories. The year was 1941, and something happened that no one ever saw coming. It was a year into World War II, and they were fighting on the European side. But December 9th, 1941, America got attacked on home soil. Japanese pilots got into their aircrafts, drove right in to Pearl Harbor. You see, that day, 2,403 people died, and over 1,000 were wounded. And I bet to say, none of those thought that would be the last morning they would ever see. But you see, we all know that people die young. For about 153,424 people die every day. But I do not tell you these stats to scare you or to feel bad. It's just to make a point. You see, we do not know when our last day will come and we become part of that 153,424 statistic. But to close, I want to tell you just one more story. It touches a little bit to home. The date was July 25th, 2017. A 19-year-old man got into a car with two other men. And as they traveled down Topside Road, the two men decided to pull a knife out and stab this 19-year-old man and throw his body out of the car and drive away. This man's name was Caleb Bradford. This man I have known since I pretty much moved here, since I was 7. A man I played football with and a man I looked to as an older brother. But on that day, I realized I never talked to Caleb about the gospel. I never talked to him about Christ or what he had to do to be saved. But from that day on, I've made a promise with myself that I would not let that happen again. I will not think that I have time when I really do not know how much time I really have. So now that I have talked to you guys tonight about the Word and about Christ, it's now up to you what you do with it. But I beg you not to take any longer if you are ready, for we all do not know when our day is over. If you have any prayers or anything that's in your life that you're struggling with, or if you have not yet been baptized and stored your treasure up in heaven, I ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.